It's all right, but Bill, I'm just going to use this mic. Is that all right? Well, I'm glad that Jim brought up skunks, because I got a skunk joke for you. This lady called the city department. She said, I've got a skunk in my basement. I can't get him out. And they called back and said, get some breadcrumbs and put breadcrumbs all the way out to the road so he'll come out of your basement. She called back an hour later and she goes, I've got 12 skunks in my basement now. I didn't hear that. I don't even know. Well, this morning, glad you're joining with us to worship with us here in person or online. We are starting a new series. I've been talking about it, but I'm going to do it. We are in a Ten Commandments series beginning today. And I want to encourage you guys to come every single time for the next 10 weeks. How many of you think you can do that? All right, all six of you. Now, I do want to encourage you to come because I think you'll get a lot out of these, I call them 10 jewels, as we rediscover the deep truths of the Ten Commandments. I don't know about you, but as I was growing up, I always watched the Ten Commandments. Our family did. It was a big deal. How many remember the Ten Commandments? Charlton Heston, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Remember that? And you know what? And I remember time just stood still when the Ten Commandments came on. I mean, nobody come to each other's house. Nobody called you because you had those dial-a-phones, you know, remember those? And it took forever to talk to somebody, and you dare not interrupt the Ten Commandments. Matter of fact, when you had to go get a drink or a sandwich out of the refrigerator, you had to hurry. Or if you had to go to the bathroom, you had to hurry because you had to get back because you didn't want to miss any of Charlton Heston. You couldn't pause it. We didn't have pause back then. Remember that? No pause. So you had to hurry. And it was always intriguing to see all the family gathered around the TV to watch Charlton Heston and the Ten Commandments. Paramount Pictures. You know what? We watched it every year. And praise God, we didn't have to watch Lawrence Welk that night. But you know what? Wouldn't it be great if we could just sit around the TV with our family and watch the Ten Commandments? Amen? We're so busy. We're so caught up with work and with play and with going here and going there. And have you noticed how busy we are in our lives today? Sometimes it's like we don't have time for God. Sometimes we don't have time for our spouse. I have time for my spouse. They're up in Michigan. They're not even here to spend time with me. But you know what? They'll be back. And I miss that quality time with the family, don't you? I wish we could kind of go back from time to time. Well, we're going to take a close look at the Ten Commandments today. And I want you to know something about the Ten Commandments as you turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 20 or Deuteronomy chapter 5. They're parallel scriptures and they're in both texts. But I'm going to be reading out of Exodus chapter 20 verses 1 through 17. These are not 10 suggestions. Everybody say it with me. These are not 10 suggestions. They are 10 commands. And I praise God that the commentators that put together the Bible to this day still use the word shall. Aren't you? It's not you better not or you need not. It's you shall not. Now my sister's here this morning, so I got to be very careful. But when our dad said, you shall do this, you know what that meant? We better get her done. Because two things happen. The old belt's coming out. Or he's going to find a branch somewhere and we're going to get it. I think I told you about the time I ran around the yard so many times. My dad got tired and I got tired. Finally, I stopped and he was laughing as hard. And he spanked me and I was laughing. That didn't hurt. That's about the way it was. Let's read it together if you have your Bible. Exodus 20, beginning with verse 1. It says, and God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of where? Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, or I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation and those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day it is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughters, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor your aliens within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land, and the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false witness or testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And all God's people said, amen. How many of you have the Ten Commandments memorized? I'm going to do quite a childish thing this morning, but it's going to turn into quite an adult thing. By the time we're done with the Ten Commandments, I want you to have memorized all ten. Now, some of you are thinking, I can't get past the first one. All right, let's go over them. One God. How many think you can get that one? You shall have no other gods before me. One God. Got it? You got it, Amy?
I think so.
Number two, a little more difficult. No idols. Scissors, everybody do this. Cut out, that's two, cut out the idols. Number three, do not misuse the name, the Lord's name. Don't take it in vain. Turn it upside down. Three, it's an M. Do not misuse. Four wheels to church. Amen. Honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Five, I love this one. Honor your father and mother or you're going to get it. Number six, drop the five. It's a knife. Number six, do not what? Do not kill. Seven, drop the hand again. It's two people. Do not commit adultery. Four is do not steal or we'll cut your thumbs off. So you got that, number eight. Number nine is the hardest. Do not lie or bear false witness. The only thing I can think of is one finger is lying down. And this is one you'll remember. Do not covet. Do that. Everybody do that. Do not covet. All right, now you can say them back to me. You don't have to do that, but every time we go over these things, I'm going to go through that really quickly so that you can memorize it, not just to be memorizing, but so that you can remember them. Now let me ask you a thing this morning. Is the Ten Commandments a thing of the past? No. It's something that we should still honor. Now, there's one, the Sabbath day. Their Sabbath day was Saturday. Our Sabbath day is what? Sunday. We come here on the Lord's Day to rest and worship. But their Sabbath day was on Sunday. It's the only thing that's really different as we go over these things. Now, let's talk about the first one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Small g. Now, if you study the Bible long enough, you will realize this. In the Bible, oftentimes, more often than not, you will see a list of things, and the things that are most important will be listed what? First. Have you ever noticed in the Bible where Jesus says, and Peter, James, and John came with me? Were they more important than the other apostles? Yeah, let's just cut it to the chase. They were. And they were Jesus' closest three friends, and he mentions them oftentimes. Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. In the Bible, it says, God. He's first. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So the order of importance is also correct here. Now in Exodus 20 verse 3, this is what God is literally saying. This is my version of Carson's commentary. Hey, I'm it. There's no one except me. Is that all right? Is that what you believe? I'm it. There's no one except me. I talked to a girl one time and she said, you know what? I believe there's other avenues to heaven besides Jesus. First of all, I got red in the face. And I looked at her and I said, there is only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I don't care how good you are, and I don't care how many times you come to church, and I don't care how many sermons you listen to or how many songs you sing. I want you to know, when you stand before God, only through Jesus Christ will you make it to heaven. That's it. I've been to a lot of lion funerals where the preacher gets up and says, oh, this is a good person. Good person, yeah. They weren't baptized, they weren't a Christian, but they were a good person. I believe they're in heaven right now. Really? That's what I call a lying preacher. And I want you to know, I'll never lie at your funeral. If you're not a Christian, I'm not going to say you're going to go to heaven someday. I'm not going to say that. I'll try to be as nice as I possibly can. But to say those words, pretty close to blasphemy. Now this morning, if you're taking notes, let's follow along as we talk about serving this one true God. First of all, we need to remember that we serve a very jealous God. Exodus 20, verse 1 through 3 says, "And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." But they did. They built a golden calf. At the very time Moses was up receiving the Ten Commandments, they were down in the valley building a golden calf and committing who knows what other kind of sins were down there. Here's the thing. God knew that already, didn't he? He was engraving on the Ten Commandments and he knew that the people were sinning down below. Moses didn't. They were making another God. Something they could see. Something that they could touch. And there are a lot of people today that don't come to church. They have nothing to do with God because they can't see him. They can't touch him. But you can feel him. And you can feel him through the Holy Spirit. And we'll see him someday. Amen. We'll see him someday. But they wanted something they could touch. Something they could feel. Something they could see. Well, I've never made golden calf of you. I've never had anything that's an idol in the form of a golden calf. But you know what? If we're not careful, our house can become our idol. Our car can become our idol, especially if you drive a Ford. Our boat can become our idol. Our motorcycle can become our idol. Our spouse, our job, our hobby, anything else that takes all of our time and keeps us from serving the one true God, Yahweh, that is our idol. Can I get an amen? Some of you know that I bought a boat back in April. What you don't know is I've already sold the boat. Because I found out something about a boat. It cost me too much money. And I know Roger Kaiser will tell you, boat means bring out another thousand. There's a lot of truth to that. And the first week I had it, I wrapped up $549. And then when I got it out there, it wasn't that fun. I'd had to back it in there. Then I'd have to go get the trailer and make the trailer down there and put the boat on. You know what I'm talking about if you have boats. So I told Ching, I said, I'm going to sell it. She goes, okay, sell the boat. It's too stressful right now. We sold the boat. But you know what? I don't miss that boat one bit. Because I found out something else about boating. It can take a lot of your time. It's not just boats, though. I have to be careful. I'm an outdoors person. I like to go forward, and I like to go camping. I like to do this. I like to do that. And you know what? That can become my God. If you believe that, raise up your hand. Anything that takes the place of the allegiance that you need to be giving to God can become your God, small g. We have to be careful. Now, I want you to write this down somewhere on your papers. Your God is anything or anyone that takes too much of your time. Your God is anything or anyone that takes too much of your time. I run into people all the time. Yeah, I've been thinking about coming to church, but I don't have time. Really. So I just picture God someday when we die and we stand before him and we say, you know, God, I didn't really have time for you. And God's going to say this, and I don't have time for you. Are we really so busy that we don't have time to come to church to worship Yahweh? Are we really that busy? Exodus 34, 11 through 14 says, I, the Lord, am making a covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders and never before that are never before done in the nation of all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Obey what I command you today. I will drive out before you the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. I always say the termites. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you are going, or they will be a snare among you. But they did, didn't they? Do we do that? Do we allow the pagan nations to influence us? Do we allow pagan nations to become a snare to us? I believe we do, to some degree. If you were to go to the Holy Land today, you would still see idolatry alive and well. You would still see the Israelite people, the Jews, stuck in Judaism, not accepting Jesus Christ as the true Messiah. And without accepting them, they're lost. I hope they do, don't you? I do. They still put their tradition and their hard hearts before Yahweh, and it makes him mad. Deuteronomy 4:24 says, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." Let me ask you a question this morning before we move on to point two. Who is it, or what is it, that consumes your time to the point that it is weeding God out of your life, and it's making him mad, and it's making him jealous? Do you still believe that God is a jealous God today? I do. I believe that God wants our complete 100% allegiance to him. Beginning this week, here's your assignment. Write it down. Try keeping a log of how you spend your time, especially on Sunday. And take note of all the people or the people you hang out with. And determine for yourself how I spend my time. Learn to evaluate your time and then give God the time that he deserves. Number two, a second point that we need to remember is this. We need to remember to be fully committed to God. I was reading a story not long ago about a young American engineer who was sent to Ireland to do some work for a year there. When he left, his fiancée gave him a harmonica. And she said, "I want you to learn how to play this harmonica when you are in Ireland so it'll keep your mind off those Irish women." After arriving in Ireland, he wrote back to his fiancée and he told her, "I have been practicing the harmonica." After a year had gone by, she finally came back to the States. And when she met him at the airport, he came up to her and tried to give her a kiss. And she said, "Stop. I want to hear you play the harmonica first." Let me ask you a question this morning. Are we really sold out for God? Are you 100% committed to him, to worshiping him, to abiding by his ways and keeping his commandments? Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit your ways to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make you righteous like the sun that shines in the dawn." Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed." 1 Kings 8:61, King Solomon says this, "But your hearts must be fully committed to the Lord our God to live by his decrees and obey his commands." And I like this one. It's my wife's favorite verse. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." He didn't say he'd make them easy. He said he'd make them straight. And friends, I want you to know today, when you fully commit your life to God, it doesn't mean you're not going to have hard times. You are. But it does mean this: he'll make your path straight. When they become crooked and when you get offline a little bit, God will redirect you online if you fully commit to him. And here's another thing I want you to remember. If you want God to bless you, then you better do what he says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. I think my problem is sometimes, and probably a lot of yours, I give God a lot of my heart, but I'm not sure I give him all of it. Anybody else want to confess to that? I'm not afraid to come here on Sunday morning. I'm not afraid to study. I'm not afraid to get into the Bible and get into prayer and do what I can. But you know what? 100% of your heart, that's a lot. But you know what? If we really want to receive a blessing from God as a person, as a people, and as a nation, we're going to have to give God a little more time. At work, if you guys are still working, learn to talk to the people around you about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's pretty important, isn't it? If you have a hobby, whether it's golfing, playing basketball, or tennis, whatever you do, take time out to tell your co-friend about God. You know what? I found it doesn't really take a lot of time to do that. But the problem is, we don't have the gumption or the nerve to say something. Invite someone to church, and don't just invite them. Pick them up and take them to church, and then take them out to lunch. I know what that's all about. I feed a lot of people at my house. But you know what? I enjoy it. Because I know that not only are they my friends, they're friends of Jesus. And try to think of creative ways that you can talk about God to the people around you. 1 Peter 3:15, write it down. Peter says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this," don't forget the last part, "but do this with gentleness and respect." I have learned something in almost 25 years of ministry. You can try pounding people with the Bible and it ain't going to work. Amen? What they want to know is how sincere you are. And how loving you are, and how willing you are to accept their forgiveness, just like God does. Remember this, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And there's a lot of truth to that. Learn to be committed 100% for God. The third and final thing we must remember is this. We must remember to remove any obstacle in our lives that keeps us from having a right relationship with God. On the day Moses received the Ten Commandments, the Israelite people had already broken all ten of them, most likely. When they were down in the valley, they were doing things that we care not to talk about here on Sunday morning. But I want you to know that they were messing up. And when Moses came down out of the mountains, and if you've seen Mel Brooks, I'm going to try to show it next week if Bill can do it. He came down out of the mountain and he seen what they was doing, and he took the Ten Commandments that God had spent time engraving with his finger, and he did what? He threw them on the side of the mountain and they shattered. And in Exodus 34, it says that Moses had to go back up and God redid all the Ten Commandments. Now, can we just say that Moses was ticked? Can I say that? He was mad. And you would be too. They'd committed idolatry by building a golden calf. They had continued misusing the Lord's name. They had continued probably to defile the Sabbath day because Moses was gone for so long they thought he was dead. They continued to dishonor their parents, kill, steal, commit adultery. They continued lying and coveting the things around them, including that golden calf. They continued all these things even while in the promised land. And God had finally had enough. And this is a thing that really scares me about the Bible. In 722 BC, the Bible says that God initiated the Assyrians to take over the northern kingdom. Well, okay, we got the southern kingdom, right? They're still faithful. Well, not very faithful. And in 586 BC, you need to remember those two dates, 722 and 586 BC, God initiated Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians to take over his people. He initiated it. He blessed them. He granted them to do it. Now, some people think that Nebuchadnezzar confessed his sins and he's in heaven someday. I don't know that. We'll find out someday. But you know what? Not everybody was bad. Have you ever heard of a man by the name of Daniel? And three men by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You heard of those guys? There's a few good people left. Friends, I truly believe that this relates to America today. I truly believe that we are at a crossroads in America today. Can I get an amen? We are in a crossroads at America today, and we can either do what is good and receive a blessing from God, or we can continue on this treacherous path which we are going on right now, and God will allow America, the beautiful, to be destroyed someday. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will forgive and I will heal their land. It's time, I believe, for America to recommit to God. I think it's high time for Christians to recommit to God. Luke 16:13 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other." Joshua 24:15, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors who serve beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But," say it with me, "as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Friends, we need more people to step up and say, no matter what America does, no matter what they say, no matter what laws they pass, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve Him. And finally, Hebrews 12:1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the Daniels, the Shadrachs, the Meshachs, the Abednegoes, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Friends, I want you to know today, there is only one God. It's not Buddha. It's not Confucius. They're all dead. It's God, Yahweh. We serve a living God. And He is here today, just like we talked about last week. And He deserves our complete allegiance. He deserves your worship. And if you're listening online and you've been neglecting the worship of the saints, like Hebrews 10 talks about, you need to redirect. You need to recommit your life to the Lord. And you need to get back in the house of the Lord. Friends, God deserves your very best. And if there's sin, if there's anything that is hindering you from receiving a blessing from God, get rid of it. I want to close with this as they come to play. Back in 1998, Adams County, Ohio, the ACLU sued the school board in that county because they decided they weren't taking down the Ten Commandments. Not inside, not outside, they were keeping the Ten Commandments. The school board stood its ground against the ACLU and even displayed other sayings like this: the Magna Carta, the preamble, the Declaration of Independence. And during that time, McCreary, the judge, said this: "I will resign my position and even go to jail before I allow anyone to take down the Ten Commandments in my courtroom." Praise God, amen. That's what we need. The courtyard, the courthouse in Lawrence County, Illinois, needs to stand up for the Ten Commandments. Wabash County and Edwards County and Clay County, when all these counties come together and we say, we don't care about the ACLU, we're going to stand up for what God says. That's what needs to happen in America. Ted Turner, some of you know him. I don't like him. If you have TNT, you have Ted Turner. You are supporting Ted Turner Network. The reason I don't like Ted Turner is, first of all, he thinks he's God. Matter of fact, he's even said that before. Here's another reason why I don't like Ted Turner. He thinks that the Ten Commandments are irrelevant and they're outdated and they have no use for us today. And he even went on to say this: "We live in a world where people can just do whatever they want." And this is what will happen someday. When Ted Turner stands before God, this is my favorite word: oops. Don't you love that? Oops. And when he sees that God is who he says he is, just like God told the Israelite people, "I am who I am," he's going to say oops, and he's going to say sorry, and God's going to say, "Yeah, too late, too late." Friends, I want you to know, we serve a living God. We serve a living God, and He deserves our 100% allegiance. You decide this week how you're going to spend time giving God what He deserves. He deserves our all. Who is your God this morning? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's pray. Father, You deserve our all. You've sent Your one and only Son to die for us. And Lord, we get so busy. We get caught up in all kinds of stuff. We have friends all around us. They're not Christians. And if they were to die today, without a doubt, they'd spend eternity in hell. Lord, we're scared. We don't know what to say. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to get past our scaredness. Lord, help us to say something. Lord, help us to always be prepared to give anyone an answer for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, You are our God. You deserve our praise. And we love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.